just been given another PIL score tonight. Wilson defeating Lincoln 81-50. Wilson over Lincoln 81-50. I'm ready to go home and relax for the weekend. You do the same. Have a good weekend. We'll get together again Monday night, 8 o'clock, right here at KOI in Portland. My name's Tom Morgan. Take it easy. CBS News followed by CBS Radio Mystery Theater is next. It's 11 o'clock.
CBS News. It appears that President Ford is going to expand his personal campaigning in New Hampshire. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The president may be trying to take the edge off the strong primary effort being made by Ronald Reagan. Jim McManus has a report from the White House.
The White House strategy at first blocked out only a single day's campaigning for President Ford in New Hampshire, but that's all changed now. The original calculation was designed to demonstrate his obvious desire to win without seeming to show panic in the face of the Ronald Reagan challenge. The plan also appeared to concede a strong showing for the president's lone adversary. But now there is a growing belief among the president's political advisors that Reagan's first primary campaign foray was less than a triumph. And so the president will campaign in the Granite State February 7th and 8th, and perhaps a third day. It's even likely he'll take to New Hampshire's ski trails. The feeling here is that Reagan has stumbled on his plan to cut the federal budget, and that relentless attacks on the president by right-wing publisher William Loeb of the Manchester Union Leader is building sympathy for Mr. Ford. Jim McManus, CBS News, The White House.
Howard Calloway, the president's campaign manager, predicted Friday that Mr. Ford will win the GOP primary in New Hampshire. There are reports from Washington saying that next week President Ford will name Commerce Secretary Rogers Morton as the White House assistant to coordinate his presidential campaign. Senator Robert Byrd of West Virginia says he is entering the race for the Democratic presidential nomination, the 11th man to declare. Byrd says he'll run in the West Virginia primary, hoping to give his home state a greater impact at the Democratic convention in July. But Byrd did not rule out going on to run in other primaries. Byrd says it's an open field. More news in a moment.
America's big, beautiful travel value is available again. Greyhound's All-American Ameripass. 7 days unlimited travel for only $76. 7 consecutive days of travel everywhere Greyhound goes in America, Canada too. Go where you want, when you want. Be a real free spirit. Leave when you like, any day, every day of the week. Only Greyhound serves 48 states. You don't pay for your All-American Ameripass until you're all set to go. And like Greyhound's 3 other Ameripasses, you'll enjoy special discounts on hotels, meals, sightseeing, and other good things. So get going with a Greyhound All-American Ameripass. 7 days unlimited travel for only $76. It's a great way to get in touch with family and friends for less money, because Greyhound's in touch with more of America.
In a report from Beirut, the Reuters News Service says a fierce battle erupted before dawn Saturday in the Lebanese capital, a battle for control of the hotel district. The report says a hail of mortar and machine gun fire swept across the area of the St. George's, Holiday Inn, and Phoenicia hotels. China has begun 6 days of mourning for Premier Zhou Enlai, but leaders in Peking say they will not invite foreign dignitaries to attend his funeral. In a debriefing, CBS News asked Canadian journalist Ross H. Monroe in Peking why the honors for Zhou are so low-keyed.
We Westerners who, no matter what political persuasion we had, we Westerners saw Zhou Enlai as one of the great towering figures of this century. And we expected something much more dramatic than we're seeing. But the Chinese are determined to play down the mourning, and they have gently turned away requests from many governments and friendly communist parties to send delegations to the memorial ceremony next Thursday.
Monroe also says the Chinese leadership appears deeply upset at Zhou's passing from the scene, but the Chinese masses appear to display remoteness from the event. The Organization of African Unity meets Saturday in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, to discuss the civil war in Angola. On the eve of the session, the president of the OAU, General Idi Amin of Uganda, condemned the Soviet Union, Cuba, and South Africa for their roles in Angola. But Amin praised the United States, saying U.S. policy is not to interfere there. Now this.
Hello there. This is Tony Marvin for the National Leukemia Association. Please remember this name, Project Research. Now, in addition to our other services, our special effort named Project Research has been established to help deliver that knockout punch against leukemia. Won't you join me and throw your knockout punch? You'll be getting on a winning team. Send your tax-deductible donation today to Project Research, care of the National Leukemia Association, Box 3039, Garden City, New York. That's National Leukemia Association, Box 3039, Garden City, New York. Once again, this is Tony Marvin saying thanks to you for Project Research. We are committed to conquering leukemia.
The rumored breakup in the 10-year marriage between auto magnate Henry Ford II and his wife Christina was confirmed Friday by lawyers for Mr. Ford. In Detroit, Alan Swartz, attorney for the chairman of the Ford Motor Company, confirmed the two had separated but would not say if divorce proceedings have started. Doug Poling, CBS News.
In Radio 97 news, weather permitting, searchers will comb Mount Hood again tomorrow for three youths who were last seen on New Year's Day. Bad weather earlier this week prevented a full-scale search, but the weather broke for a while today. However, no sign of the three boys was found. Two helicopters joined in the search today, but the bad weather prevented the choppers from approaching the ground too closely. Mount Hood Community College east of Portland will submit to district voters next week a five-year serial levy that would produce $2,300,000 a year. Money would go for college operations and additional equipment. College officials say they fear the school will have to limit enrollment if the levy is rejected. Enrollment at Mount Hood has doubled to about 12,000 students since 1970. Oregon Governor Bob Straub has asked the Federal Highway Administration to give Oregon an additional 60 days to decide what to do with federal funds left unspent when the Mount Hood Freeway project was canceled. Straub made the request in a letter to Norbert Thiemann, Federal Highway Administrator. The governor says the State Highway Division is considering other alternatives to the proposed Banfield and Sunset Highway busways. Those two projects were the original suggestions on how the $200 million could be spent. The state is to make its decision on by January 26th. The Legislative Emergency Board rejected a proposal for a solar heating unit in a new building at the Oregon State Fair today. Earlier, the board had approved a similar project for the University of Oregon Music School. Legislators on the board said they did not see any need for two sun power heating experiments in state buildings. In some other action, the board approved more planning on proposals to place 250 prison inmates in new facilities outside penal institutions, grudgingly approved $74,000 to pay off subcontractor claims for a building project at DeMash State Hospital, and approved a Children's Services Division plan to increase state reimbursement for centers providing daycare when school is not in session. The weather forecast is for clouds tonight, increasing chance of rain later tonight with rain tomorrow and Sunday. Lows in the 40-degree range, highs 45 to 50. At 11:08, you're up to the minute with Coin 97 News. I'm Tom Morgan.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Didn't Sophocles say, "The gods hate utterly the bray of bragging tongues"? And haven't we also been taught that pride goeth before destruction? Certainly, the prophets and the sages and the poets have had enough to say about the besetting sin of pride. Why, then, is pride so prevalent? The subject intrigued Mark Twain so deeply that he created one of the deadliest stories about pride ever written.
Do you realize, Edward, it's $40,000?
But it's not ours.
Well, no one can prove that.
Mary, it's wrong. I never took anything in my life that wasn't mine.
Neither did I. Maybe that's our trouble.
But we still have our good name.
And our debts.
How can we possibly steal?
It's very simple, Edward. Hide the money and use it when we want to.
No, it can't be that easy.
It is, Edward. It is.
Hello.
mystery drama, The Man That Corrupted Hadleyburg, was adapted from the Mark Twain classic especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Fred Gwynne. It is sponsored in part by True Value Hardware Stores and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Buick's 1976 Century Regal is the most luxurious mid-sized car Buick builds. But it's also got a practical side. In fact, it makes a concession to practicality that no other American mid-sized car does. It comes with a V6 engine and a Buick V6 at that. Regal, it's got the spirit.
Tied strings around my finger, written notes to myself. This is Dennis Weaver, and I guess I've tried them all. And every once in a while, I find that I've forgotten in spite of all the reminders. I hope that doesn't happen to your Christmas seal letter. You see, the things Christmas seals do for us must go on all year round. That's the fight against such lung diseases as emphysema, asthma, and tuberculosis. Please give more to Christmas seals.
Your Lung Association says it's a matter of life and breath.
Seek to understand the many ways in which God reveals His Word. Throughout time, God has spoken to man in dreams. Jehovah said in the Old Testament, "Listen to my words. If a man be a prophet, I make myself known to him in visions. I speak to him in dreams." So, pay attention to your own dreams. They might well reveal flashes of the future, predictions and warnings of things to come. They may give you a glimpse of God's guidance to lead you back to the peace and security of His way. For your free booklet on dreams, write to the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021. That's the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021.
According to Mark Twain, you could cheat just about anybody. Back along the turn of the century, there was a town called Hadleyburg, which advertised itself as the most honest and upright place in the world. Incorruptible Hadleyburg, envied by its neighbors. And yet, one day, untainted, irreproachable Hadleyburg fell from grace. How did it happen? May I introduce you to Jack Halliday?
I knew it would happen one day, and I said so, but nobody listened to me. After all, I was only the editor of the Hadleyburg Gazette, and it was a paper that lost money. So what did I know about anything? Anyhow, putting the story together, here's what happened. One night, old man Richards, who works at the bank, he's one of the 19. I'll tell you who they are later. If I have to stop and explain everything at the beginning, I'll never get started. Well, old man Richards and his wife Mary are having supper.
Edward, I know you're tired, dear, but you must have your supper.
I'm not hungry. I'm so clear worn out. You know, Mary, it's hard to be poor at our time of life. Grinding away at a salary, another man's slave.
Oh, but Edward, we have our good name.
Yes. Yes. And that's everything. Don't mind my talk. It's just a moment's irritation. It doesn't mean anything. Who's that?
Someone's at the door.
Who would knock at this hour?
You sit, Edward, and finish your supper. I'll see who it is.
Who is it, Mary, dear?
Well, that's strange. There's no one here.
But we distinctly heard someone knock.
Edward.
What is it?
Come here, quickly. Edward, look.
Look at what?
On the doorstep, this bundle.
It's a sack.
Oh, what does it mean?
It means someone left a sack on our doorstep.
Yes, but what for what reason?
Oh, let's bring it inside and find out. Here, let me. Oh, Mary, I can't lift it.
Oh, well, now what do you suppose can be in it?
There's a piece of paper attached to it. Here, let me put on my spectacles.
Oh, Edward, what does it say?
It says, to be published or the right man to be sought out by private inquiry, either will answer. This sack contains gold coin weighing 160 pounds and 4 ounces.
Edward!
Help me. Help me drag it inside.
Oh, mercy on us.
Quickly! Shut the door, Mary. Lock it.
Oh, Edward, what do you suppose?
The paper. The paper. There's more written on it.
Oh?
I was a gambler. A ruined gambler.
Oh.
I arrived at Hadleyburg late at night, starving and in rags. I begged for help, and I luckily begged of the right man. He gave me $20. He also gave me life and hope. I returned to the gambling table.
Oh, Edward, who would have given a stranger $20?
I became rich, and I remembered a remark he made. It gave me the inspiration to reform, and I have. I don't know who that man was, but I want him found, and I want him to have the money in this sack.
Oh, Edward, can you imagine how much money there is in there?
I would find him myself, but I cannot remain here, but this is an honest, incorruptible town, and I can trust you folks to help me.
Well, how can we help?
The man can be identified by the remark he made to me when he gave me the $20.
Oh?
Please publish or reveal what I have told you so far to anyone who you think might be the right man. If he says, yes, I was that man, and the remark I made was such and such, open the sack, and inside you will find a sealed envelope with the remark. If he has made the correct statement, give him the gold.
Oh, can you imagine, Edward? All that gold.
You may publish what I have revealed to you in your local paper and add the following instructions. 30 days from now, let the candidate appear at the town hall and hand his remark in a sealed envelope to the Reverend Mr. Burgess, and have the Reverend Mr. Burgess destroy the seals, open the sack, and verify the remark.
Someone in this town befriended a stranger, gave him $20, and now...
And now that man who set his bread afloat upon the waters shall become rich.
Oh, Edward, was he...
Was I that man? Was I that benefactor?
Yes.
No, Mary, no.
Oh, well, just as well. We could never accept that gold anyway. It was gambler's money.
We must make the inquiry public. All the other towns will be sick with envy, because no stranger would ever trust such a thing to any other town but Hadleyburg. Let me run over and tell Jack Halliday.
I didn't believe him till I came running back to the house with him. And there was the sack, and there was the letter, just as you've already heard it. Well, you remember I said Edward Richards was one of the 19? Sure. There are 19 leading citizens of Hadleyburg. Ed Richards is the least of them. The poorest, the most unimportant. He just about makes it under the wire. Well, these 19 set the tone and spirit of Hadleyburg. The 19 uncorruptibles. Just keep them in mind. Well, I said to Ed and Mary Richards, let's get this money right over to the bank and have old Pinkerton put it right in the vault. And we roused him out of bed, and he did it. And the whole town turned out. Everyone became so excited. You can imagine. Anyhow, poor old Edward Richards finally went home.
I think I know who that man was, Edward, who gave the stranger the $20.
Hmm?
Barclay Goodson.
Yes. Yes, you may be right, Mary.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been like Barclay. May he rest in peace.
Do you remember what he said about this town? It may have been honest, but it was narrow and self-righteous and stingy.
And I remember how he was hated for it, too. I guess he was the best hated man around here, except for Reverend Burgess.
Former Reverend Burgess.
Hmm?
Wait. Doesn't it seem odd that the stranger should have appointed Reverend Burgess to deliver the money?
Mary, Burgess isn't a bad man.
Oh, nonsense. He would still be a minister if he
hadn't... It was all because of the rumor of his being with that woman.
Oh, he was guilty.
No. No, Mary, he wasn't. He was innocent.
Edward, what are you saying?
Mary, I was the only man who knew he was innocent.
What?
I could have saved him, but... Well, you know how wrought up the whole town was. It would have turned everyone against me. I just didn't have the courage.
I see.
I have another confession, Mary. When there was talk of riding him out of town on a rail, I sneaked over to his house and warned him to leave until things cooled off.
Oh, Edward, if anyone had found out...
It scares me yet. Everybody thought it was Goodson who warned him. And when folks started to mumble about him... Goodson buckled on his .45 and invited them to state their case to his face.
Oh, that was just like Goodson. The way it was like Goodson to give back $20 to a tramp.
Hmm? Why are we so sure it was Goodson?
It couldn't have been anyone else. Oh, why didn't we keep the gold?
Mary.
Why didn't you realize we could never find the right man because he's dead and buried in his grave?
Do you realize what
you... As long as the money would go to someone who needed it as badly as we do, who would have been hurt?
You know how we've been raised, how we've been shielded against all temptation, till it's absolutely second nature not to hesitate for a moment when an honest thing has to be done.
Oh, I know. But it's an artificial honesty and as weak as water when temptation really comes, as we have seen this night.
Mary, there's no use going...
Oh, Lord knows I never had any doubt about my indestructible honesty till this minute.
Now, dear, you mustn't go on this...
Edward, I know exactly what you're thinking right now.
You do?
You are thinking, if a body could only guess what the remark was that Goodson made to the stranger.
Yes. And I feel ashamed about it.
Well, that's what I'm thinking myself.
Hmm. If only we could guess.
Maybe we don't have to guess.
What?
We're all creatures of habit, Edward.
Yes, I suppose that's...
You can almost predict what a person would say in a given situation. Now, think Mr. Pinkerton, the banker. Suppose a beggar were to ask him for charity. What would he say?
Why isn't an able-bodied man like you gainfully employed?
Exactly. Now, think of Goodson. What were some of the things Goodson used to say?
But, Mary...
Think. Now, think. What were Goodson's best-known remarks about charity, for instance?
Mary, even if I could remember, that's no guarantee that Goodson would have made the exact same statement on this particular night. Would it do any good?
Yes. Because then you would write it down on a piece of paper... Seal it in an envelope and hand it over to the Reverend Mr. Burgess.
And suppose Mr. Burgess then breaks open the seal and it comes out that what I claim he said wasn't the remark at all.
Well, nothing ventured, nothing gained.
Do you realize the whole town will be there? The whole county, the whole state? I would be disgraced.
Oh, you could brazen it out.
Mary, I'd be terrified.
The money. Oh, the thought of all that money is driving us out of our minds.
Harry, why don't we just go to sleep?
Sleep? Oh, are you going to be able to sleep? You know what we're going to keep asking ourselves?
Yes. Yes. What could he have said?
Yes.
What could Goodson have said to the stranger?
What could he have said? I was also sure it was Goodson. Goodson had to be the benefactor. But what did he say to the stranger? Well, if you think that only Edward and Mary Richards were plagued by the question, let me tell you, they had plenty of company. No one was getting any sleep in any of the houses of the incorruptible 19. For instance, Lawyer Wilson.
What could he have said?
Hay, feed, and grain merchant, Bilson.
What could he have said?
Go down the list. Robert Titmarsh, Eliphalet Weeks, Archibald Wilcox, Ingoldsby Sergeant.
What could he have said?
It was the only topic of conversation. The 19 incorruptibles, starting with Banker Pinkerton on top, and ending with poor Edward Richards on bottom, walked about with whites and drawn faces, as if each of them was feverishly figuring out a way to get at that money. A head of steam was building higher and higher and fiercer and fiercer. Sooner or later, it would have to bust.
And it did. You know perfectly well that what we have here is a situation where an irresistible force is about to encounter some highly movable objects. Incorruptible Hadleyburg is in for a workout. Is Mary Richards correct in her analysis? Will the town's reputation collapse under its first real test? It may. It may not. Just wait here till I return with Act Two.
If 2 bits equal 1/4, how much are 12 bits worth? Well, at your True Value Hardware store, they're worth $3.97. Hi, Pat Summerall here to explain. The 12 bits are part of a Century 13-piece drill bit set that you can get right now at your True Value Hardware store. It's a perfect gift to yourself, particularly if you've got a power drill for Christmas. These 12 high-speed bits will drill holes from 1/16 of an inch to 1/4 of an inch in wood, metal, and other materials. And this set gives you something a lot of drill bit sets don't include. A center punch, the accurate way to start any hole. That's 13 pieces in all. They come in a folding case. Each bit fits in a slot marked with its size, so you never have to guess which bit is the size you want. 2 bits may equal 1/4. But at your True Value Hardware store, 12 bits are worth $3.97. Get the Century 13-piece drill bit set at your participating True Value Hardware store. Just remember, look under Hardware in the Yellow Pages.
The time, August 15th, 1944. Keeping pressure on the forces of Germany, the Allies decide to make a massive landing on the southern coast of France. Hundreds of Allied ships wait quietly for the signal to launch. This is James Drury with Navy Chronicle. Allied chiefs of staff meet. Plans are made. Efforts are coordinated. The attack will close the gap between campaigns in Italy and Normandy. After 4 months of preliminary bombing, ending in a massive airstrike by our 1,400 planes, nearly 900 United States and British ships put thousands of troops ashore. A force of 9 escort aircraft carriers provide air cover and close air support for the assault. Allied warships destroy opposing enemy shore guns. The invasion is a speedy success, and the United States Navy was there.
You've been listening to Navy Chronicle, an historical series with James Drury and the U.S. Navy Band.
Why do you climb a mountain? Because it's there, is the usual answer. And in this case, the simplicity of the reply contains a universal truth. Nature abhors a vacuum. The very fact that something exists can motivate someone to do something about it. Here you have Mark Twain's town of Hadleyburg. It has a reputation for honesty. This fact by itself is enough to inspire someone to try to destroy the reputation. Jack Halliday continues our story.
I wish I could tell you what went on in Hadleyburg as the weeks went by, and that fateful Friday drew near. Everybody from Hadleyburg was walking around with a long face. Everyone agreed that the benefactor had to be Goodson. But one thing kind of intrigued me. Why was Reverend Burgess named as the judge or referee or whatever? Burgess, who'd been treated so shabbily by the town. Could all this be a trick on Burgess's part to get even? Reverend, I think I've been your friend.
Yes, Jack, you have.
How do you figure in this sack of gold business?
I have no idea.
When Goodson was alive, you two were close.
Well, I suppose we were kindred spirits.
Reverend, you know more than you're telling. I'm convinced of it.
Why is everyone so sure the benefactor is Goodson?
Well, who but Goodson would give a stranger $20? Oh, now, wait. You would, Reverend Burgess. You would.
Well, for that matter, Jack, so would you.
Where would I ever get $20?
If you had it, you'd give it away. And for that matter, so would poor, timid little Edward Richards. Think about it.
I thought about it. And the more I thought, the less sure I was of anything. Meanwhile, as I found out later, the mailman had been to the Richards home and left behind a letter. And what a letter.
Dear Mr. Richards, I have just returned from Europe and heard about the event in your town of Hadleyburg. You don't know who made that remark, but I do. It was
Goodson. Ah, do you see,
Edward? Shh. We were old friends. That night I passed through your town and Goodson waited with me at the railroad station. Some tramp approached him and asked for a handout. I saw him give the man the money and I heard what he said.
Edward, why would this man
write... After the tramp left, Goodson and I talked till my train arrived. He mentioned practically all of his fellow townsmen and I could tell he actively disliked most of them.
Oh, that does sound like Goodson.
He did mention your name as a rare exception.
Oh?
He said you had done him a good turn once and that possibly you may not have realized the full value of it.
What was that, Edward?
He said he wished he had a fortune so that he could leave it to you. Well, then, in that case, if you really did him that service, you are his legitimate heir and are entitled to the gold.
Oh!
I trust to your honor and honesty as a citizen of Hadleyburg. I will reveal to you the remark that Goodson made. This is it. You are far from being a bad man. Go and reform. Very truly yours, Howard L. Stevens.
Oh, Edward, the money is ours.
Mary. Mary, do you realize I'll have to tell a lie?
What lie?
I'll have to claim that I was the one that gave the $20 to the stranger.
Oh, that's a technicality. Edward, you read what this Mr. Stevenson said. Well, you do deserve the gold, and so...
And why do I deserve the gold?
Why? Because, as Mr. Stevenson pointed out, you did Mr. Goodson a good turn once.
No.
What do you mean, no?
I don't remember ever having done Goodson a good turn.
Oh, come, you're always helping people.
No, I remember. I did Burgess a good turn, but not Goodson. I never had anything at all to do with Barclay Goodson. I was afraid to be seen with him.
Oh, think.
No. No, I didn't.
Oh.
Mary, I know all this honesty Hadleyburg brags about is a fraud, but I'm too old, and I'm too tired, and maybe I'm too frightened to change my ways, and I just won't have anything to do with it anymore.
Edward!
No, it's my very last word on the subject.
Well, that's how it was at that point with Ed and Mary Richards. That letter bore an out-of-state postmark. But do you want to know something extremely interesting about that letter? It came in 19 copies. 19. And that letter was delivered to 19 homes in the village of Hadleyburg. Each and every one of the 19 incorruptibles received it.
Dear Mr. Wilson, I have just returned from Europe.
Night I passed through your town. You're far from being a bad man. Go and reform. Good morning, Jack.
Well, Mr. Bolson.
Jack, I've been thinking. I don't advertise enough.
I agree.
I always held if you sell hay, feed, and grain, folks will come and buy what they need anyhow.
But now you've changed your mind and you want to advertise.
Yeah, you guessed it, Jack.
What's gotten into you?
Well, we got all those strangers in town on account of, you know what.
Wilson, what's really on your mind?
Jack, the reporters keep asking me questions about myself, you know.
And?
Well, I don't know what to tell them.
Well, just tell them the truth.
Well, I do. But it sounds kind of stuffy.
I guess it would.
Yes. So, what I was thinking, Jack, was that you might write me a kind of short autobiography.
Nelson, you're an old fraud.
Jack, you know all about me, and I'm willing to pay you.
All right, Nelson, but I'm warning you. I intend to get to the bottom of this.
Jack!
Ah, but isn't old Roy Wilson himself? Your old rival Bilson was just here.
Hey, really?
Now, what can I do for you?
Well,
Do you want me to write your autobiography?
No, not at the moment, Jack. I want to arrange for some advertising.
I believe it isn't ethical for lawyers to advertise in this state.
Oh, well, I wouldn't dream of advertising my law practice.
Oh, you wouldn't? Well, what would you advertise?
My intention of running for the state senate.
Say that again.
I said I intend to run for the state senate.
Oh, come on, Wilson. Who'd vote for you?
I have every prospect of victory.
You're the most unpopular man in town.
I don't know about that. I think people will be eager to vote for me.
Oh, do you? Well, why on earth should anyone even dream of voting for you?
Now, how much does a full page cost?
I've never seen such a change in the atmosphere. Everybody walked around with a smile. Everybody seemed to have a new lease on life. Then is everybody among the 19 Hadleyburg incorruptibles? Why, even Mrs. Inglesby Sargent, who came in to give me the full information on a church supper, seemed to be bursting.
And don't forget to write, Jack, that everyone is to bring a covered dish.
I never forget.
Jack, I'm thinking of ordering some special cards.
Yes?
You know the Sheridan Mansion? Well, I think I finally convinced Inglesby to buy it.
Well, that would take a lot of money.
Oh, that's not going to be a problem very much longer.
Oh, it isn't? Why not?
Oh, that would be telling. Jack, a simple, tasteful engraved card to read Mr. and Mrs. Inglesby Sargent at home at number 1, Sheridan Place. Do you suppose we could change the name of the square to Sargent Place if we own the property?
I know how much money it takes to buy that mansion, and if you've got all of it, you can afford to do anything. It made no sense at all. I couldn't account for it. What was the sudden outburst of sunshine and roses among all the 19? Bright plans, extravagant spending. And all these people lost their minds? Only one person seemed unchanged. Edward Richards.
Mary, leave me in peace.
Edward, no, the money is rightfully ours.
But I keep telling you, I didn't do any service at all for Goodson.
And I keep telling you, it may have been some tiny, picayune thing that you can't even remember.
Don't weaken my resolve.
Goodson befriended a stranger in the presence of a witness.
Mary.
And in so doing, he made a remark. The witness, a friend of Goodson's, remembering that Goodson felt kindly to you, wants to do you a good turn. Now, that's all there is.
I could believe it. I could accept it if...
If what?
If I could ever remember doing Goodson a good turn.
Oh, Edward, you must have.
What? How?
Well, things are relative.
Oh, please, Mary.
Oh, did you ever say hello to Goodson on the street?
Well, of course.
Well, that's a good turn.
That's the...
Most people ever greet Goodson? Smile, say hello, tip their hats, shake hands, or stop to chat?
Hardly anyone. No, I didn't either. I just...
Yes?
I just smiled and nodded.
And that was enough. Oh, don't you see, Edward, that little bit...
Mary.
As Goodson said, you wouldn't know the value of it. Now, who else would say hello to Goodson? Oh, Edward, can't you see the hand of Providence? Oh, come, dear, write. Write. You are far from being a bad man. Go and reform.
Mary... Do you think I should?
I think you should. And you think you should. Now, all we need is the paper, the pen, and an envelope.
Yes, indeed, that's all you need. People do become a bit erratic, not to mention unhinged, at the prospect of a fortune in gold, or anything else, for that matter. Well, here goes incorruptible Hadleyburg. Can we salvage anything? The cleanup begins when I bring you Act 3
in just a few moments.
In case you've forgotten how much fun driving can be, Buick would like to introduce you to Skylark, a small car that's all Buick, with room, comfort, and an engine that no other compact car in America offers, the incredible Buick V6. Skylark, it's free spirit made practical.
Wiped out smallpox and smallpox vaccinations? Who got the world's pilots and control towers to speak English so you can land safely? Who helps you in dozens of ways? The United Nations. Learn what it's doing for you. Get the free UN booklet. Write United Nations Association, Box 475, New York 10017. There's always been a you in the UN. Presented by this station and the Ad Council.
Sound familiar? Each year, fire claims a devastating toll in human life and property. Last year, fire killed over 11,000 people and destroyed close to $4 billion in property. Underwriters Laboratories field engineer Ray McNabb says you can help prevent this terrible killer from striking you or the ones you love by following these simple precautions.
Check the condition of electrical cords, appliances, and receptacles. Make certain that electrical cords are not frayed or placed beneath carpeting. Always keep matches and lighters away from children. And store paints and other flammable liquids in sealed containers.
And know exactly where your fire extinguisher is located.
That's right. Keep a fire extinguisher in the kitchen, the garage, and where your heaters are located. And be sure it is accessible should the fire start in that area.
This is public safety information from Underwriters Laboratories and this station.
You are far from being a bad man. Go and reform. Such a phrase is worth in the neighborhood of $40,000. Which may be small potatoes today, but it was certainly a bumper crop about 80 years ago. The question is, how many people know that phrase, and how many of them are willing to utter it? For this information, we need to hear from Jack Halliday, the local editor.
The town hall never looked finer. The place was festooned with all kinds of flags and bunting. You'd think it was the 4th of July. The sack of gold sat on a table in the center of the stage, and it made mouths water all over the house. Finally, Mr. Burgess was introduced, the Reverend Mr. Burgess. Everyone in town loved him now, and he spoke without rancor, as if nothing had happened.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have here in my pocket an envelope.
Mary, I'm scared.
What's to be scared
about?
Which
I shall open. And here is the letter inside.
Mary, that's on blue paper. We didn't use blue paper.
And it reads as follows. The remark which I made to the poor distressed stranger was, you are very far from being a very bad man. Go and reform. Signed, Jeremiah Bilson.
What?
Jeremiah Bilson!
Mary, did you hear something?
Order, please. I see that Mr. Wilson is also on his feet. Why do you rise, Mr. Wilson?
Because you called my name.
No, sir, no. I read the name Bilson, which is signed here.
I, Jeremy Bilson, signed that letter.
You, Wilson, are a liar and a fraud.
I'm the one who befriended that poor stranger, Mr. Chairman. I wrote you a letter myself. I, William Wilson.
Just a moment. It seems I have another envelope in my pocket.
That's it.
All right, then, I shall read it. The remark I made was, you are far from being a bad man, go and reform, Signed William Wilson.
Mr. Burgess.
Order.
Mr. Burgess.
The chair recognizes Jack Halliday.
Both of them couldn't have made the same remark. Both of them didn't. Mr. Wilson said, you are very far from being a very bad man. Wilson said, you are far from being a bad man. No, very. Therefore, you should open the sack, sir, and read what the test remark is.
With your permission, ladies and gentlemen, I hereby break the seals and open the sack.
Mary, what have we done? Do you suppose he has our letter in his pocket?
I find here two envelopes. One is marked the test remark. On the other it says, not to be opened until all written communications addressed to the chair have been read.
Let's hear the test remark, Mr. Burgess.
This is what the benefactor claims he said. You are far from being a bad man. Go and reform.
That settles it. That's exactly what I said. And Wilson is a liar and a fraud, and I'll tell you how...
Mr. Wilson, you're out of order.
I insist. I am the man who befriended a stranger. I know what I said. I was in my office writing this note to you, Mr. Burgess, when Wilson came in on business, and he may have seen the note on my desk, and therefore...
That's an infamous lie.
Yes, and he couldn't even copy it correctly.
Order, gentlemen, order. Neither of you has quoted the remark correctly. Order, please. The full remark is... You are far from being a bad man. Go and reform. Or, mark my words, someday for your sins you will die and go to hell or Hadleyburg and try to make it the former.
The hallmark on it, eh?
Order!
Mr. Chairman. 2 out of 19 incorruptibles have succumbed to temptation, I think. Our fair town of Hadleyburg now has a new image.
I will sue any man who impugns my honesty.
Mr. Chairman, I move we adjourn this meeting.
We cannot do so at this point, Mr. Halliday.
Why not?
Because we have other claimants for the prize. I have received a number of letters. Perhaps one of them can repeat the true remark.
Oh, Mary, we're doomed. We'll be disgraced.
Letter number 3. You are far from being a bad man. Signed, Inglesby Sergeant. You are far from being a very bad man.
Who's incorruptible is that?
Nicholas Whitwell.
Well, it became a picnic after that. The house was in hysterics. One by one, the incorruptibles were stripped naked. Figuratively speaking, that is.
Mary, we're going to be disgraced. Oh, Mary, why did we do it?
I don't know whatever got into me, Edward. Oh, forgive me.
He's saving us for last. I know it. Oh, Mary. All I ever had was my good name. Now, I don't even have that.
Oh, pray. That's all we have left. Pray that Burgess will be merciful.
Yes, let us pray.
Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that's all.
Mr. Burgess, how many of those letters did you receive?
19.
Well, sir, I've been holding count, and you only read 18.
Oh, did I? I must have been mistaken. I guess it was only 18.
18?
We have 19 incorruptibles in Hadleyburg. But only one of them is the genuine article. Only one is truly as advertised. I propose a cheer for the cleanest man in town. The only so-called important citizen who didn't try to steal that money. Edward Richards!
And now I shall read the other letter in the sack. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no test remark. Nobody ever made one. Order, please. Order. There was no beggar, no contribution. At one time, I passed through your town. I was offended by your lofty, snobbish pretensions. I was insulted by your overbearing vanity. I decided to discover if your vaunted integrity was genuine. And now you have seen what I have done. I'm sure I caught every last man to whom I wrote that letter tipping off the test remark.
That's right. He did, down to the last man.
Well, the contents of the sack belong to all who claimed it.
Now, wait a minute. You mean these sharpers get the gold after all?
Order, please, no. Ladies and gentlemen. I must abide by the instructions. And so I shall now cut open the sack and distribute the contents among...
What is it, Mr. Burgess?
Friends, this isn't gold. These are just gilded pieces of lead.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, I propose we auction off the sack and give the proceeds to the one honest, incorruptible left, Ed Richard.
May I speak? My name is Stevenson.
Mary, it's that Mr. Stevenson.
Stevenson?
Do any of you gentlemen know me? I am a collector in rare coins and curiosities. And I think I might buy this collection. And on it, engrave the names of the 18 incorruptibles.
Sir, I'm returning. I warn you, I will sue you to the inch of your life.
I beg you, sir, not to threaten me. I know my rights. You and anyone else can prevent me from gaining possession by outbidding me. $1,000! Three!
Keep it up, gentlemen. Keep it up. Remember, the proceeds go to Ed and Mary Richards. Do I hear it?
10,000!
10,000!
10,000!
I must confess. I won't be tempted again. I won't.
Listen, you're giving it so much money. We could be comfortable for the rest of our lives.
Mary, I should confess, but I can't.
10,000 there.
Burgess, why did he save me?
Maybe we lost the letter.
25!
36,000
there.
I'm going to confess.
During which time the 18 incorruptibles got together to pool their resources, and finally they bought the sack for $50,000.
Oh, Edward, I'm exhausted.
Well, finally we can go to bed.
Oh. But I won't be able to sleep.
I know. $50,000.
Oh.
Mary, I can't believe what happened.
We'll be given the check in the morning. You'll believe it then.
Suppose...
Suppose what?
Suppose this is Mr. Burgess's way of getting revenge. He was accused of adultery, but I knew it was a lie. I could have saved his reputation. I didn't.
Edward.
No, Mary. Now he's waiting. Don't you see? He's toying with me. Let the town praise me, and then he'll produce that letter and destroy me.
Edward, you don't know that.
No. I'm going to confess everything.
Where are you going?
Out. I'm going to tell everyone I see that I tried to steal the money, too.
Edward!
We thought he was mad. He went through the streets bareheaded, without a coat, stopping people, knocking at doors. We thought the ordeal had been too much for him. But now, he convinced us. And then Hadley Berg really fell. Our last incorruptible was gone. Literally. Because that night he caught the fever that killed him. And I was with him at his last hour. The Reverend Burgess came to visit.
Edward, I would never have betrayed you.
You would. You would have.
I destroyed the letter you sent. I wanted to save you. You, after all, saved my life once by warning me.
No. You were angry with me because I could have cleared your name. But you see, I was afraid and you hated me for it. You were waiting for revenge.
Poor Edward. You couldn't have cleared me. You had no real evidence to offer. You see, I was to blame. I was guilty. Like everyone else, I'm only human. Like everyone else, I too could be tempted. Hadleyburg is a well-corrupted village.
I guess there isn't an awful lot more to tell. Hadleyburg had its name changed by special permission of the legislature. And what its new one is, I won't say. But we're a town now, like other towns. Neither better or worse. But at least, we're human. Which is about as good or as bad a thing as you can say about anyone. Thank you kindly for your attention.
And thank you, Jack Halliday. This has been a visit into the Mark Twain country of Hadleyburg. And you can find a Hadleyburg almost anywhere you look, even in your own hometown. And you can look for me to be back here in just a few moments.
Here's a tip from your Better Business Bureau on the metric system. Have you noticed the metric measurements on packaged foods at your supermarket lately? Soon the metric system of measurement will be commonplace all around the country, and you should be ready for it. Look carefully at the metric measurements on the foods you buy. They may seem bewildering at first, but they make a lot more sense than the system of measurement we're currently using. For example, right now, fluid measures are expressed in gallons, quarts, and pints. Dry measures are expressed in bushels, pecks, dry quarts, and pints. And a dry quart is 16% larger in volume than a liquid quart. By using the metric system, however, you only need to know one unit of measurement for liquid volume, the liter. All other fluid measurements are multiples of the liter. And similarly, dry volumes are measured by the gram and multiples of the gram. This has been a tip from your Better Business Bureau on the metric system.
Temptation. The temptation of the flesh and the temptations of the spirit. Who can withstand them? We human beings are so ill-equipped. We have so many desires, so many conceits, so much vanity. And so every time you deplore a justifiably condemnable offense, take consolation in this one thought. Given the foibles of the human race, we can be glad things aren't a lot worse. Mark Twain settled for that. Our cast included Fred Gwynn, Ralph Bell, Joan Shea, Earl Hammond, and Court Benson. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Oh, Inspector Blunt, I marvel at how much ground you've covered in so short a time.
Well, one does these things by instinct, Major Smathers.
Yes. Is there anything I can do to help?
Yes. You must maintain secrecy.
Ah, of course.
So far, No one knows of the theft except the thieves, your servants, yourself, and I, and my men.
I shall see to it that my servants say nothing at all.
Good.
Inspector Bunt, you realize the international crisis that can be created if that elephant isn't found soon?
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Portland. It's midnight. CBS News. The body of Premier Chuan Lai is lying in state in Peking as China has begun its official six-day mourning period. Good morning. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. China announced yesterday that despite pressure from several governments, it will not break tradition by inviting foreign statesmen to attend the funeral. Only a small cross-section of Peking's Communist Society will have a chance to pay tribute to the 78-year-old premier at a mourning ceremony inside the ancient Forbidden City on Monday. Meanwhile, flags are at half-mast throughout the capital, and extra police line the main boulevards as cars carry the mourners to Central Peking Hospital, there to pay their last respects to the man who had been premier since the birth of Communist China in 1949. More CBS News following this message.
First down and goal to go at the 4-yard line is Joe Kapp. And that deep holding again will be quarterback Lenny Dawson. The ball is down. It kicks up. It's end over end.
Taylor Nothing beats tackle. Super Bowl action, and action you'll get right here on most of these stations this Sunday. I'm Jim Kelly, CBS Radio Sports. And Sunday, Ed Ingles and I will be there in Miami to bring you exclusive live radio coverage of the game from kickoff to final gun. Ed Ingles will call every exciting minute of the play-by-play. I'll be there covering the color and background of this great sports event. The AFC Steelers and the NFC Cowboys trying for the World Championship of Professional Football. And this year on CBS Radio, Super Bowl X is more than just a game. It's a whole weekend as Win Elliott brings you a panorama of Super Bowl history in 28 special broadcasts this Saturday and Sunday. Well, after the game, Win brings you highlights of the play and special locker room recaps with the players and, of course, the coaches. So come along to our Super Bowl X weekend this Saturday and Sunday over most of these CBS Radio Network stations.
President Ford's campaign strategists, believing Ronald Reagan stubbed his toe in New Hampshire with his controversial budget-cutting proposals, are moving to take advantage of the situation. A planned one-day campaign appearance has been extended to 3, probably February 6th through 8th. Administration sources indicate Mr. Ford next week will name Commerce Secretary Rogers Morton as the White House assistant to coordinate the presidential campaign. Morton is to leave the Commerce Post on February 1st. Ford campaign chairman Howard Calloway predicts Mr. Ford will beat Reagan in the New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Florida, North Carolina, and Illinois presidential primaries. Talking with reporters, Calloway denied having tried to influence the Justice Department to delay a retrial of former Florida Senator Edward Gurney until after the Florida primary. More on that from CBS News correspondent Bernard Shaw.
Calloway told reporters that what he did was a casual thing, that after the Gurney trial, he got some Florida phone calls from people saying Gurney had suffered enough, implying the Justice Department shouldn't retry Gurney, a Republican, and certainly not during the Florida primary.
I just called over the White House and I said, this thing can have some political impact. Is it appropriate to do anything about this? And they said, no, it's not appropriate. And I dropped it. I never recommended it. I never did anything. I still think I would not be doing my job if I didn't bring up something that's very important politically and bring it up.
Calloway says, contrary to reports, he has no plans to quit his job. But if President Ford has somebody better or somebody with a clean slate, he would step down. Bernard Shaw, CBS News, Washington.
Alabama Governor George Wallace last night opened his campaign in the Massachusetts presidential primary, drawing the biggest crowd so far attracted by any of the Democratic candidates to appear there. Wallace told some 2,000 supporters in Boston, liberals are taxing us to death. The newest seeker of the Democratic presidential nomination, West Virginia Senator Robert Byrd, Jr., declared his candidacy yesterday.
I feel that the country needs leadership. I feel that I can give it leadership. I think that it's an open field. I don't think anybody has the matter in the bag at this time. I think I have as good a chance as does anyone else, based on the record of leadership that I have shown in my 9 years of working with the leadership in the Senate.
Byrd concedes, however, he may provide another option to his party only if the more publicized candidates falter. More news in a moment.
I'm Joe Dowd. I'm not an actor, I'm a father. So forgive me if I'm not good at this, but there's something I'd like to ask you. If you can understand what it's like for a kid to hear he has hemophilia, the bleeder's disease, and there's no cure for it, well, then think what it's like to hear there's a medicine that can stop your bleeding, but you can't afford it. It must be like torture. The medicine is called a clotting factor, but it costs about $26,000 every year. So most hemophilia kids can't afford the medicine they need. That's the problem my son Tim has, and my son Joey, too. Hemophilia needs your help. A few dollars to do research that will bring down the cost of the medicine so kids like mine can afford the help their fathers can't give them. Please, help hemophilia, because what good is the medicine if you can't afford it?
National Hemophilia Foundation, Box 675, New York. A new intense battle for control of Beirut's strategic hotel district broke out just before dawn today. Former President Nixon last night celebrated his 63rd birthday at a private dinner inside his San Clemente, California villa. Birthday highlights, a telephone call from President Ford, a reunion with daughter Julie, and son-in-law David Eisenhower just back from China. Mike Stanley, CBS News.
Next news on COIN, News of the Northwest at 12:30.